This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. How much good is good enough to be accepted by God? In today's message, From Slaves to Children of God, we're going to talk about what we must do to win the love of God. Please join us for the fifth part of our series, Gospel Matters, based on the book of Galatians.
How can I know for sure that I am a child of God? How do I push through my doubt or overcome my lack of confidence that I am forgiven and loved by God and that I belong to Him? We're going to share about this very truth together in our message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, grateful for your word, thankful for your promises in his name, so that we can trust our very lives to you. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your word with fresh ears and an open heart, and that the roots of our faith would sink deeply into your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading today from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 26, and then picking it up a little later with chapter 4, verse 4. Now you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. For when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but sons. And since you are sons, God has made you also His heirs. Dear friends, grace and peace are always for you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Years ago, I stood in a hospital room visiting a man named Vince and his wife Mavis. Vince, the next day, was going to have open-heart surgery for bypass to repair blocked arteries. While I was there, a petite little nurse came into the room to discuss his surgery the next day, and to his surprise, the woman said, "During surgery tomorrow, I just want you to know that I'll be holding your heart in my hands." I later thought, what an apt description of how God sends Jesus to us, and how Jesus, by virtue of being our Savior from sin, our Lord and our God, holds our hearts in His hands. What better place for our hearts and lives to rest than in the hands of Jesus Christ, our Savior? Today we continue to discuss the Epistle of Galatians, as Paul writes eloquently, defending and proclaiming the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As my colleague, Pastor Steve Kramer, has been sharing, there's nothing more beautiful and lovely than the truth that Jesus plus nothing is everything. That in Jesus, God gives us fully peace with himself and grace without limit. That we don't have to add anything to the gospel. But by faith in Jesus alone, we are assured of our salvation, being in relationship with God as his children. As Paul is writing, he shares his own spiritual journey about how he formerly had been Saul, the persecutor of the Christians. With misguided zeal, depending on his pedigree, he persecuted those who professed to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, until Saul met the living Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus and was radically converted to understand that Jesus is the Lord of life and the source of grace, and that a relationship with him by faith alone is the basis of being the people of God. So in this epistle, Paul confronts Peter, because Peter, the great disciple, in relationship with the Gentile Christians in Galatia, had withdrawn from the Gentiles if there were any Jewish Christians around, believing that one had to add the religious ritual of circumcision to be a Christian. Paul said, "How could you so quickly forget that it is by faith in Jesus crucified and risen alone that you are God's child?" It reminds me of that beautiful verse in the second chapter, the 20th verse. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My self-effort is worth nothing, but the presence of Jesus' Spirit within me and the promise of his grace is everything." It says in Galatians that Abraham was justified by faith centuries before the Mosaic law was given. So now, the function of God's law, the will of God, in the commands of God, in the Word, are never the basis of our becoming acceptable to God or becoming his children. We cannot by self-effort become righteous by our own morality. The law, then, is our tutor to lead us to Christ by showing us how spiritually bankrupt we are, so that we will gladly hear the message that Jesus alone is the source of love and grace and forgiveness, and that we will put our confidence totally in Christ for our salvation. That's the gospel. So that we become the children of God by faith in Jesus. So Paul says, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son." There are two words in the Greek language for time. One is chronos, from which we derive the English word chronology, the sequential unfolding of events, one that follows the other. The other word for time is kairos, meaning a poignant moment of great significance, where there's an event so impactful that our lives are altered from that moment on. when Paul says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, he uses the word kairos. It is a moment that has been planned by God from all eternity. The moment of the incarnation, where God, who is infinite, now becomes particular in the babe born to the Virgin Mary. And in God coming to the world, the plan of God's salvation begins to unfold in a climactic way. God sent his son into the world. Of all the religions in the world, Christianity is distinctive in realizing that human beings can never live morally pure enough to be acceptable to God. Our hearts cannot be transformed with a purity to lift us into a relationship with God. Only Jesus can do that. Like we know so well from John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through Christ. Jesus comes down not only to be one of us, to take our sins upon himself and die on the cross. But he is raised from the dead, and God vindicates him as truly the victorious Son of God. And in Jesus' name, by faith, we become children of our Heavenly Father. So Jesus alone is the Savior of the world. Nothing needs to be added to that truth. And it is as simple as you and I this day saying, Jesus, I confess I'm a broken sinner. I thank you for coming to be my Savior. I thank you for dying on the cross to redeem me from the curse of the law and to forgive my sins. I place my trust in you. That is what Paul writes here. He says, Jesus, the Son of God, comes to redeem us from the curse of the law. Did you hear the story of the man who met a boy who had a bird in a cage? What are you going to do with that bird, boy? Oh, I'm going to take it and I'm going to end its life. Oh, you don't want to do that, boy. Would you like to sell me the bird? No, the bird's not for sale, he said. Well, how about I give you $10? The boy paused, but shook his head no. Okay, 20 then, he said. The bird is not for sale. How about if I give you more? The boy got a glint in his eyes, and he looked at the man's wallet, and he said, what are you willing to pay? How much do you want? He looked again at the wallet, and he said, I want it all. So the man gave all he had to the boy, and the boy gave him the bird, and the man, having paid the money, opened the cage door and let the bird fly free. That's redemption. God, in the life of his Son, paid for your and my freedom from the curse of the law. He redeemed us by the spilled precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb, who died on the cross for us. We are saved and set free at the high cost of God's love in the sacrifice of Jesus. What's more, we're not only redeemed, we're transferred from being condemned slaves to being the children of God. That it says we receive the full privilege of being the children of God. It reminds me of the verse in Ephesians 1:3, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All that God has to give us is in the person of Jesus. So that when we, in faith, embrace Jesus as the Son of God and as our Savior, God has already given us every spiritual blessing. Then for the rest of our faith life journey, we unpack the glorious truth of all that Jesus' power and grace and life can mean for us. We become heirs of every promise that God has made, and every promise is validated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Nothing more needs to be added to that. Think of it. It says the Spirit is poured into our hearts. Again, we go from being condemned criminals, rightfully deserving the law's condemnation, to now not only being free of the curse, but being adopted by our Heavenly Father into His family and filled with His Holy Spirit, so that there is now the freedom in the Spirit to say, God, You are my Abba. It's a term of endearment, like saying, God, You're my Daddy. It's a term of love and intimacy, where we are one with our Heavenly Father, enveloped in His love forever. We're adopted to all that He can give us. I love how Henry Nouwen writes about this unconditional love of God. Henry Nouwen writes, "We say that God's love is unconditional. God does not say, 'I'll love you if.' There are no ifs in God's heart. God's love for us doesn't depend on what we do or say, on our looks or intelligence, on our success or popularity. God's love for us existed before we were born and will exist after we've died. God's love is from eternity to eternity and not bound to any time-related events or circumstances. The unconditional love of God is for you in Jesus Christ." Ole Rolvag, in his book, Giants of the Earth, tells the story of a pioneer woman, Berit, wife of her husband, Per, who live on the edges of a Dakota prairie in the late 19th century. It's a bleak environment, a ghastly struggle to survive, and eventually those circumstances and hardships destroy Berit's sanity. She grieves and feels guilty for leaving her homeland, leaving her parents. She's appalled at the excesses of American life. She simply cannot endure her life as it's become. When grasshoppers come flying out of the west and devour everything in sight, Berit takes her youngest child and buries herself in her immigrant chest, which is her one link with home. The glory of the Lord seems to have departed from Berit's life. She has nowhere to go to flee the terrors of her mind. Her young pastor, who's just come to that area to serve the church, realizes that Berit needs a miracle of forgiveness to heal her inner spirit. He decides to preach a sermon not only to Berit, but to his struggling people in the parish he serves who have to keep going in life. He decides to preach on the glory of God. But as he preaches, he feels like his sermon is getting nowhere. It's getting worse. He struggles to find a way to convey the glory of God in His grace and presence. Then he sees in his congregation, while he's speaking, a young mother nursing her child. Instantly, he remembers a story of a young immigrant mother who, in an effort to keep her children together in a busy city, ties all 9 of the children to her waist with a rope so that they could walk safely through that city and not be lost or become separated. And there, the preacher says, is the glory of the Lord. If a mother would love her children in this way, how much more does the Lord Jesus love every person still today? For in the death and resurrection of Jesus, he has reached out to you where you are. He has bound your very heart to his heart in the grace of his love. He has poured his Spirit into you. Nothing can separate you from his love. That's what Paul was writing about in the glory of the gospel written in Galatians. You are loved and forgiven by God. You are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord God, again today we thank you for coming as our Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you that you are raised from the dead to promise us eternal life. We welcome you into our lives again today, believing all your promises for us. Bless us with the peace and assurance that we are loved and forgiven by you, and that we belong to you forever. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, hear this blessing God speaks to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has encouraged you to rest in the assurance that nothing can separate you from God's love for you. A number of devoted Christian Crusaders listeners have chosen to include this ministry in their estate planning. Estate gifts have become a significant part of our ministry, and we are grateful to all those who have chosen to make a financial gift to support our mission. In this way, these donors leave a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To find out more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Each issue is centered around a theme of spiritual concern. If you would like to receive this free-of-charge publication, simply drop us an email at cc@naz.org. You can also call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Lee Lavig, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Spencer, Iowa, and associate speaker on Christian Crusaders. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continually since 1936.